Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Kirloskar Ferris Industries Limited 4Q FY2024 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pallav Agarwal from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Robin, and good afternoon, everyone. A very warm welcome to the fourth quarter results call of Kirloskar Ferris Industries Limited. We have the senior management team represented by Mr. R. V. Gumasthev, the managing director, and Mr. R. S. Srivatsan, the executive director of finance and CFO, that's on the call today. So I would like to now hand over the call to Mr. Gumasthev for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much, Pallav. Let me first of all welcome all the participants for the earnings call quarter 4 23-24, it's my pleasure to update you on the results. Let me start with the production capacities. During the quarter, that is the quarter 4, we produced 141,835 metric ton of pig iron against last year's 138,000, up 2.4%. Overall, if we look at the full year, we produced 534,728 metric ton against 527,170 metric ton, about 1.5% more. We could have produced a little bit more because of the dropping margins, so we had to close down Hiriyur plant for a few days, otherwise it would have been slightly better. The year was also, we had plant shutdowns, upgrade of blast furnace 1, we had closed for 90 days, and we also had 45 days stoppage of Hiriyur from blast furnace for 45 days for refractory line. So we could improve the tonnage by 1.5% in spite of all these changes. The productivity levels were good, but we had the planned and unplanned shutdown of the blast furnace. In case of castings, during the quarter, we produced 30,000 ton against 34,000 last year, drop of 11%. But if you look at overall, the year we produced 131,434 tons against 137,000, about 4.7% lower because of the drop in the demand for castings for tractor industry. Otherwise, we could have gone up in volumes at least by 10 to 12%. Coming to the sales quantity, pig iron we sold 481,824 during the year against 480,000 last year, up 0.3%. For the quarter also, it's 133,148 tons against 125,056 tons, increase of 6.5%. In case of casting, for the quarter, we sold 28,000 ton against 31,000 last year same quarter, whereas the annual volume dropped from 130,000 ton to 120,000, drop of 7.9%. As all of you know, during the quarter or during the whole of last year, there was substantial drop in the commodity prices. If you look at the pig iron prices, last year's average was 49,400 rupees per ton, and 22-23 was 49,400 ton, and last year was 43,444 rupees per ton, a drop of 10.1% in the commodity price. So whatever was small increase, overall sales of pig iron dropped from 2,374 crores to 2,093 crores, drop of 11.8%. In case of castings, overall for the year, the sale is at 1,508 crores against 1,673 crores, drop of 9.9%. In case of castings, drop is because of the tractor volumes going down. In case of the gear and commodity price correction. Average sales realization for the castings was for the year 2023-24 was ₹125.67 against last year's ₹128.37. So drop of about 2.1%. We continue to reduce the power and fuel cost. This year, the power and fuel cost came down from 131 to 124 crores. ERE under control at 4%. There is substantial drop in the EBITDA from last year 618 crores to 484 crores, 21% or 134 crores loss. Mainly because of the margin pressures in Pigaren almost entire year, and also drop in casting volumes because of the tractor industry. So we couldn't achieve the growth on casting. PBT came to 261 crores against 472 crores, and PAT from 351 crores to 196 crores. Other receivables, inventories, GCA under control. Total, we this year we moderated the CapEx. So we invested 263 crores against 548 crores last year. All low payback important CapEx is continuing, and only non-essential and long payback period CapExes have been kept either on hold or going slow. Overall borrowings controlled from 900 crores last year to about 1,000 crores this year, including the working capital. The increase in the total borrowings also because of our investment of close to 120 crores in Oliver foundry, which is acquisition cost plus restoration expenses we are incurring today. Looking at the market scenarios, I am happy to note that the tractor industry, we are able to see the initial signs of revival. The schedules for the month of May have improved, and I expect sustained volume to continue at least for coming 3 to 4 months. I hope after that, after the election and the new government at the center, there should be revival of demand. At the same time, the commodity prices, especially steel scrap and also Pigaren prices have started looking up, and we have been able to increase the Pigaren prices anywhere from 2,000 rupees per metric ton to 4,000 rupees per metric ton, which should help us in recovering the margins and thereby improved profitability in the Pigaren business. With respect to iron ore, there is a pressure on iron ore prices. Prices, both fines and lumps, have been going up. And in case of coking coal, there has been some downward correction as we stand in the first quarter versus earlier quarters. This should help us in cutting down our coal prices by $30 to $40 per ton of coal procured. This should help us to mitigate cost pressures in Pigaren. Other than this, I would like to mention here that other essential projects, both in KFIL and ISMT, continue. During the last quarter, we have commissioned the pulverized coal injection and stabilized the use of the pulverized coal injection, both for basic grade or steel grade, as well as the foundry grade. We are working towards the commissioning of solar power plant in ISMT, as well as oxygen enrichment project in KFIL, Koppal, and also working on restoration of Oliver Foundry. Hope to start the foundry in the month of July. With this closing remarks, I will close here and open the conference for question answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ashav Patel from Molecule Ventures PMS. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, my first question is that, as you mentioned in the opening remarks, there are key RM, which is coking coal, has been on a decline, and at the same time, pig iron realization has seen a very fast uptick from 42,000 per metric ton to around 47,000 per metric ton. So at current RM and realization, can we have our margins in the pig iron segment already reached the mean level of around 15%?
No, I think it's very important when you are talking about the numbers of 41 going to 46, you are talking of the sales in north. And sales in south, I think the increase is moderated. And also it's very important that the impact of reduced coking coal would get adjusted with the inventories. And definitely, there will be a improvement in the margins, and it can take some time to get the full benefit.
What would be our Q4 exit inventory cost for coking coal, sir?
Typically, we can maintain about 3 months inventory of coal.
Mm-hmm. And what is the exit inventory cost on our books for quarter four?
What is meant by exit inventory?
What is the cost of coking coal on our books at the end of the financial year?
No, I am just telling you, last quarter, our average blended cost was in the range of 260.
Okay.
And currently, whatever new purchases are in the range of blended, $220.
Got it, sir. Sir, my next question is, since last 3 years, due to ongoing debottlenecking related shutdowns, our pig iron volumes have been stagnant at around less than 5 lakh metric ton per annum. Now that we don't foresee any planned stoppages over next 2 years, what are your estimates for FY25 pig iron sales volume?
See, there are two aspects. Currently, we are at a level of production capacity of about 54,000 metric ton per month. This is our production capacity after adjusting for the skull. So, the production can go up at least by 12 to 15% once we start oxygen enrichment, which we expect to start from October. And till that time, it will continue at this level, which amounts to, you can say, 55,000, you can say, our hot metal production approximately into 12 is our production capacity today is 6.5 lakhs. And you have to remove the 3% skull generation, and the hot metal consumed in our own foundry, and after merger of ISMT again, there will be sale of Figueren to ISMT will become stock transfer. But otherwise, we can say that today we are in a position to sell 1.5 lakh per quarter or 6 lakh per annum.
And the remaining 50,000 would be used internally?
Some portion, 3% becomes skull. Remaining, I think, 20 to 30,000 we consume internally in our foundry.
Got it, sir. So my next question is regarding the Bharat mine. Last month on the forest clearance EC website, we saw that Bharat mine has already got stage 1 clearance. So when do you expect the stage 2 clearance to come by so that we can commence the mining operation? And we have got
clearance for stage 1 and stage 2 both for the mine. And approach road, we got the clearance for phase 1 and phase 2. We were supposed to get any time. As you know, elections going on, many officers from deputation, number of reasons, and we are in the process to close everything, and I'm hopeful that now light at the end of the tunnel, mine should start.
Got it, sir. So once we get the road clearance, we don't need any other incremental clearances. We can straight away start the mining operations. Is that correct understanding?
Yes. Yeah. See, there are so many small things, way bridge, connectivity to RFIDs. There are some things, but the major hurdle of environmental or forest clearance aspect is over, and the routine mines operation issues could be there, but we are ready to start immediately.
Got it, sir. The last question on the casting segment. Usually, quarter four in the casting segment is the best quarter, but we have posted the lowest volume in Q4 throughout FY24. So despite, and this was despite having the incremental foundry capacity from the new phase 1 of Solapur. So what is your volume outlook for FY25 when it comes to casting segment?
See, currently I just mentioned that immediately to start with the year, there is an improved interest for castings from all the sectors. And now it is the time I'm talking about after April, May. And we are finding that we should be able to ramp up the volume. Solapur line 2 customers castings are also under development. We should be able to start some substantial volume from foundry 2 in Solapur. And as I mentioned, Oliver also, we are starting the foundry in July and submission of samples. We expect some volume addition to come from Oliver also. Overall, this year, we look forward to have some substantial sales volume addition to our current level of 1,20,000, 1,25,000. So we would like to recover some lost ground of last year as well and push ahead with the better volumes in castings.
Sir, any rough quantification if you can give it?
See, you know, first step is to go back to 36,000, which we have done already one quarter, and then to go to 40 and 44,000. So you can, that's the kind of numbers I'm looking for the coming quarters. Whether I can do 36 this quarter, still fingers crossed. We could be slightly lower, but we would like to quickly go to that level, which is 12,000 per month, and then ramp up going up to 15,000 metric ton per month before we end the year.
Got it, sir. Just to follow up on this, given that we were significantly improving our casting segment capacity altogether from close to 1.45 lakh to 2 lakh and eventually 2.5 lakh, why we have not added any customers since last 3 years, as number of clients still remain at around 26 clients. What is our strategy to increase this volume offtake?
No, actually, what I had mentioned this earlier call, I think I have answered to one of the queries. See, many customers in our portfolio, except the top five, are at less than 2-3% of our volume. And many of those customers are interested to develop more components and to add more volumes to that. As we already have 23-24 customers, our aim is to add volumes in all the customers below that five top customers. I think huge potential. We are working with them. They are interested. We are interested. You will see volumes grow and share of business go up with many more customers than the top five customers.
Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you, Ashok. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Achal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Am I audible?
Yeah, you are audible.
Yes. So I would like to ask firstly about the insights about the current market demand and the near future, like what we are having an outlook because of the demand revival that has happened in the pig-iron market. So what are we eyeing in the near future?
For the pig-iron itself?
Yes.
No, I just mentioned to you that we are at a level of production capacity of 55,000 metric ton, which will go to 60,000 metric ton per month once we have the oxygen enrichment. So that is the maybe 55 will go to 57, 58 metric ton per month. So 30-40,000 increase with oxygen enrichment. So till that time, of course, our focus is to produce full without oxygen enrichment. And basically, the revival part is not only just in demand in terms of margins. So we have the set of cost numbers and other is the margin. So some signs of improvement in the pig-iron margins. That's what I mentioned. Otherwise, we have been producing whatever except the stoppage of Hiriyur foundry. Otherwise, we have been producing and selling full quantity.
Okay. So what is the margin improvement that we can expect in the pig-iron segment?
No, I just mentioned across the industry about 1,500 to 2,000 rupees is the increase in the pig-iron prices has happened on an average. But also there is one more thing, recent indications show that the steel scrap prices have picked up in the last few days. I expect that to push the pig-iron prices up. I am looking forward for further improvement in the pig-iron prices and further improvement in the pig-iron margins.
Okay. And sir, are there any shutdowns planned in the quarter two? Or any other quarter?
No plans of any immediate, no immediate plans of any shutdowns in blast furnace 1, 2, 3.
Okay. Sir, one last question. What is the benefit derived from the PCI commissioning that has happened and in terms of cost savings and such benefits?
No, I think we have achieved the objectives of the plan of PCI. Phase one is without oxygen enrichment. We have been able to use around 50 kg of PCI per ton of foundry gate pig-iron, up to 80 to 90 kg per ton of basic grade or low silicon pig-iron. And this has given us on an average replacement of about 60 kg, 30 kg coke consumption benefit it has given, equivalent of 30 kg. And you can say that that amounts to about 1,000 rupees per ton of hot metal. It was very essential as we had the margin pressures. So it has served its objective. Now we are focused on going for the oxygen enrichment and double the use of pulverized coal injection in the furnace.
Okay. That's it from my side, sir. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shyam Garg, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. My first question is with respect to the demand we foresee from the exports and deemed exports in casting sector. How it has been for the this quarter and the coming quarters?
Yeah, thank you very much. I think most of these exports and deemed exports are from the auto sector, commercial vehicles, and demand for that is well sustained, and I expect the further improvement to come into that, and I would say that there is no drop in the demand for castings from the deemed export front. Thank you very much.
Any specific reasons for that?
No, the customers, one is in general, when the tractor went down in this last 8-9 months, the auto sector performed reasonably well. Especially our customers, you know, our customers, they did well, and we were reasonably well supported on the auto. Rather, we added about our sales volume addition into auto sales was about 5 to 6%, and in the infra or the earth moving equipment sector, our volume addition was about 15%, and it got muted because of the tractor sales.
Okay, sir. So any specific timeline by what will start the Oliver foundry and production at Oliver?
I just mentioned that we plan to start sample production in July, and thereafter, within 2-3 months, we will start commercial production. Rather, sometimes it happens, we submit the samples in July, and if demand is good, August, we start the regular supplies. So July, we are starting the fund.
Okay, sir. Answer any updates regarding the ISMT, by what time we can expect the merger to complete?
Merger is subject to, you know, NCLT approval, and it is with the NCLT, and it could take, I don't know, maybe a couple of months more.
Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you for answering my questions.
Thank you, Shyam. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pradeep Rawat from Yogya Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is regarding the seamless pipe division. So during the last decade, the seamless tube industry witnessed heavy dumping from China, and now the industry is faring quite well, partially due to anti-dumping duty. So my question is, to how much extent the anti-dumping duty is helping domestic producers like Kirloskar and ISMT, and what kind of pressure could we face if ever these duties were lifted?
Yeah, first of all, thank you very much. Very interesting question. Thank you very much for that. And with the support, as you mentioned, with the reduced dumping, we could sustain the volumes, and basically well supported from oil and gas. But general engineering and bearing tubes, we still see dumping happening because of bringing and importing the materials in different forms. And the impact is still very, very substantial. So we have sustained and improved the quantities because of the oil and gas support, and also because of automotive industry doing well, and hence supported by the auto-related sales. But still some amount of dumping happening in those specific areas. We are approaching the government to support us, to give us the playing field and not to fight with the dumping scenarios. Otherwise, if you look at the seamless tube industry, we have been seeing a good run, and we expect after we have taken over, we have substantially increased the production and sales. But we have some job to do with respect to bottlenecking and also to enhance our enhance the portfolio of offerings, including the premium couplings and other sizes of tubing. We are working on that, and we look forward to enhancing our offerings as well as our volumes in coming quarters and coming years in ISMT, including increased sale of steel from ISMT JDD plant.
Great, great. And so with regard to premium coupling, so are we looking for any kind of JV with some international players?
Absolutely, we have to go in for that. And currently we are working with one of our partners who have been with us, and with that we have been able to offer and supply. But in the long term, we will definitely look for it.
Great, great. So my next question is regarding our recent expansion at Solapur plant, both phase 1 and phase 2, is a little more expensive than the inorganic expansion we made in the north. Is there additional benefit that we should expect from this higher investment?
Now, first of all, let me assure you that the kind of investment what we made, 170 odd crores, I think for creating automotive foundry with robotic core making and advanced technologies, I would still say that it is far less investment compared to a totally greenfield foundry. At least the investment is 30-40% lower than a absolutely greenfield foundry. And phase two, yes, we will be required to invest some more, but the production capacity of the foundry goes to 40,000 metric ton per annum. And we are talking about high-end castings with cores being produced in the core centers. And we are looking at Euro 6, Euro 7 and high-end customer demands. Close tolerance castings, they need special equipment, and we will be investing for that, and we expect to produce and export good quality castings and also supply to the Indian customers. Their price levels are different and they are not ordinary foundry.
Yeah, okay. So just to follow up on that, along the same line, we bought wind power capacity in ISMT quite cheap. So when compared to the solar capacity, so can you shed some light on that too?
No, see, the very important aspect, we can get second-hand wind, but we can't fill the total megawatt capacity with that, because they have low technology, invested 15, 20 years back, and they generate, their efficiency of generation is low. So there is a lot of calculation behind that. We have to compare solar power generation with respect to new wind capacity. We can't compare with old, because if you fill up with old, utilization level comes down. So if you compare today also solar versus wind, efficiencies have gone up with the capacity improvement per fan. Now you can think of 2.5 megawatt, 2.8 megawatt, even 3.5 and 5 megawatt. So the efficiency levels have gone beyond 40%. They can generate double of the solar. If you look from all these aspects, I have mentioned earlier also, our long-term plan is to invest and cover 74% of the power with solar and 15% with the wind, and that is the best. And beyond that, whatever 10, 12, 15% will be from the grid. And we have to see how to cover that, but our initial focus is for 85% coverage. With renewable energy, substantial steel production will go to green steel production, and that is the focus. At the same time, of course, it brings down our power cost very substantially.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Keshav Parikh from Pi Square Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, yes, Keshav, please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, my question is regarding the ISMT bottlenecking, which was taken over by last quarter, about 100 crore project. And into Baramati, we were expecting to complete by June 24. May I know the progress about that?
Yeah, I think we have progressed quite well on the bottlenecking, and our teams have confidence today at Baramati that July onwards they should be in a position, subject to orders, production and sale of up to 12,500 metric ton in a month.
That's from increase from 10,500, right? Per month.
10,500, you are right, sir.
All right. And
let me add, though some of the debottlenecking projects are in progress, and I expect it to complete by the end of June, June end quarters. Yes, go ahead, sir.
Yeah. And what about the outcome estimates for ISMT and average volumes?
No, see, there are two aspects. One is the order booking, the product mix, and then, of course, production and sales. We are very keen that this year we increase the volume sales between Baramati and Jejuri. We will, because we went last year, you can say almost flat, 157,000 cube sales, and we are very keen that this year we at least achieve 10 to 15% growth on the top line in terms of the volume. We have booked some good island gas orders. We have some more orders to be booked before we end the year, and we are looking at the tube sales growth this year, along with steel sales growth in ISMT.
And what's the position of our order book currently right now?
No, I think it's still a lot of gap filling still going on. Oil and gas, we have done some announcements and we have booked some good orders. Tenders are coming, and we are confident to book some more to cover it. But if you look at today, the bearing market has improved. The power plants also, projects are yet to come up, general engineering yet to come up. These two sectors, general engineering and power sectors, which are project in nature, are yet to take off, and we expect that after the elections, we must see some revival in that also, which should support us overall to really look for volume growth in ISMT.
Mm-hmm. And again on Kirloskar for us, we have seen that most of the orders are about to complete. And any outlook for new orders coming in?
No, Kirloskar, Ferris, I said that, these are only, we work with our customers, auto, tractor, moving equipment. These are not project in nature. They are ongoing businesses. We have number of castings under development, and we have a number of components which are ordered for development and serial productionization in quarter three of this year, quarter four of this year, and next year is lined up. I would say that the order book position is quite robust to continue loading the foundry, because we are now, as you know, from 150,000 capacity or 160,000 capacity, we are moving towards more than 2 lakh capacity. Today, we can say that our capacity to produce and sell is definitely 2 lakh tons, and which we plan to take it to 250,000 tons. And of course, it won't happen in 1 year. We expect that within next 3 years, we should double the sales, and we go towards 250,000. And order book positions and development of casting with our customers, and also possibly adding few more customers, is in progress to support this program.
Right. The last one from my side is, what about implementing PSI, which was about to reduce our cost and save about 60 tons of coking coal? We had our last quarter.
I just mentioned in the earlier question that phase one or pulverized coal injection without oxygen enrichment has been implemented, and we are getting the expected benefit. On an average, we have been able to use about 60 to 70 kg, and we are working on commissioning the oxygen plant, and we expect from 1st October or October onwards, we will increase the average pulverized coal injection to about, you can say, 100 kg per ton of hot metal, up to 150 for steel grade, and maybe 80 kg for foundry grade. On an average, we should get up to 200, about 110-120 kg per ton of hot metal, which would be a very optimum level to get the best possible benefit of pulverized coal injection.
And any specific reason why we see a delay in oxygen enrichment? Like, we were about to start by June, July.
We went into ordering, but the delivery periods are longer for oxygen plant there. That is where we got stuck. It's a large compressor. Deliveries are like 18 months, 16 to 18 months, and then it goes into, I think, I can today say we erred. We didn't plan well in advance to bring oxygen plant project ahead of PCI project. Other alternative is to buy oxygen. Many people do that, but I am finding buying the oxygen overall cost economics is very marginal benefit. So we are going ahead with our own oxygen plant, powered by our power plant. So another 4 months we have to wait before we get that benefit.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the queue, please restrict your questions to 2 questions per participant. You may rejoin the queue if you have follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Sahil Rohit Sangvi from Monarch Networth Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations for giving a good result even in this difficult times. Sir, very quickly, 2 questions. Sir, we were trying to set up a 2-part foundry, sir. If you can just tell us what is the timeline, when do we commission that, and the CapEx kind of spent on that right now or this year?
Two things we have done. We are we had little bit setback on casting volumes. As you know, it typically demotivates our enthusiasm on investing more and moving fast on investments in foundry. So it's but natural, and we went slow on 2-part foundry, so trying to first utilize the capacity. And we could work out how to cut down the investment cost. We have come with a good proposal wherein phase one we will invest less, not 140 crores, but invest just about 75 crores. And we are now going ahead with that investment, and we expect that in 15 months we should be ready with the new foundry. Till that time, we will continue to manufacture 2-part castings in the earlier foundry, and there we are trying to take it to about 100 to 150 metric tons per month, which is also a good capacity just to support the customers in that time.
Right, sir. And this 75 crore will essentially mean 12,000 tons per annum capacity, or would it be less?
It would be slightly less. I don't have exact number, but it will take care of the ramping up volume required. Instead of phase 1, phase 2, we have just made it phase 1, phase 2, phase 3 and cut down the initial investment, but subsequently we add it and ensure that that capacity and that investment doesn't come in the way for capacity utilization. So we have time for ramp up and we just stagger the investment. So that we are going ahead, that is more comfortable than earlier plan.
Got it, sir. And my second question would be the capex that you will be spending. If you can give me that number for FY25, both for KFI and ISMT, roughly any kind of targets you have.
I think this year also everything going well. As you have seen, we had done about 500 to 600 crores of capex for 2 years. But last year, overall environment being a little bit less motivating, we cut down to 263 crores. And we want to go back and see that we invest maybe about 500, around 500 crore, 500 to 600 crores between ISMT and KFL once again before we really start our major investment on steel.
Right, sir. And this will be broadly spent for the power plant at ISMT, the two-part foundry, and what else would this be? 500, 600?
You are right. One is, of course, the solar power plant. Solar and wind, green power, is one, and this two-part foundry in Solapur and another. And also, we are talking about the upgrade in Hiriyur. We have done some reworking, and we think now that we can do that upgrade in about 100 crores. That's another major investment. And there will be some investments on the machine shop. And also, please note, we will continue to expand capacity in Oliver. We are yet to start, but once we start in July, we are looking at the opportunity how to add and what to add in the core shop so that Oliver Foundry also delivers 60,000 tons per annum. So we are working on that also. Those are going to be the major CapEx numbers coming years. We may also need some solar investment for Solapur Foundry as well. It's in Maharashtra, cost is very high for power.
Right, sir. Thank you, sir, for this answer. And just on, because you said you will be upgrading at Hiriyur, would that mean we might shut down the furnace for, say, 25-30 days?
No, actually, we will take maybe about 9 months to stop the foundry. We won't stop it immediately. I think it would be, stoppage will be in the next year. And whenever we do, it will be a long shutdown because we will upgrade the furnace to 300 bit.
Got it, sir. That will be amazing, sir. Sure. Yes. Thank you, sir.
And also get the cost efficiencies in terms of coke consumption, pulverized coal efficiency in line with copper.
Yeah, that would be amazing, sir, I think. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat Sheth from Quest Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, when we are talking of doubling the casting volume in next 3 years. So can you give some color it's going to largely from which and how does it going to change the mix of our casting business from current level and how much would be that we are expecting from the deem export?
Yeah, thank you very much. I think there is also now opportunities for direct export as well as the deemed export. Two, three segments which are more promising now is, of course, continued support on the auto commercial but also from the off-highway and earth-moving equipment sector, our presence there is very low. Many of the customers are still importing castings, and we want to replace the imported castings by made in India. We hope that we will achieve that. For example, one of the auto players is importing 200,000 blocks per year, and they are keen on developing in India. We want to develop it. And also, we have another customer in the south who is importing 30,000 to 40,000 blocks every year, which we want to replace. And this have definitely in life for at least next 7 to 10 years. In addition to that, there is also a large number of castings getting developed, not only for replacing the imports, but also developing and exporting the castings. Many of the OEM customers in India are joining hands with international to not only start manufacturing in India for India, also manufacturing in India for the world. You have seen couple of JVs happening in the last 2-3 years, but I expect another 3-4 JVs coming up with our OEMs who need more castings to take care of India requirements as well as abroad requirements.
And profitability in export vis-a-vis this replacement, and how do we, from current level of profitability, do we expect?
No, I think all of our recently developed castings, our auto castings, they are reasonably profitable, and I think even in export, maybe we can get slightly better because they are replacing European cost or American cost, and we are very competitive compared to them, and I expect the exports can give us amongst today's business higher than today's business, maybe 10-15% better margins than what we are doing today in Indian market.
Sir, on machining side, can you give some color? We have stated in our presentation that to ramp up machining. So what is current level and how do we see over next 2-3 years? Is every year, if you can give kind of a color on the machining?
We are increasing the machining values, but there have been very small improvements, and we are looking towards a breakthrough in that. Most of our machinings happen to be in the tractor sector, whether it is clutch housings or transmission housings or even the blocks were tractor blocks, and we were not into much of machining in auto block. We started now with one of the customers giving him semi-finished machine, 70,000 blocks and heads. I think that was a kind of about 1 crore per month machining value. And we are looking towards expanding with all the new auto earth-moving equipment castings we are offering with machining. And though it is taking time, we are quite confident that we'll keep adding to the machining value in Kirloskar.
Last question on this green power, what we are talking of, meeting around ISMT tube steel manufacturing as well as some part in tube meeting around 85-90% of power.
The total power consumption.
So how do we see every year addition, and what will be the capex in overall for the our company?
I think, thank you very much. See, we are looking towards doing it very quickly, but 2-3 things are taking more time. One is the managing the land acquisition and typically on the timeline. Other one is the towers and slinging, whether it is 5 kilometers, 6 kilometers, the big challenges. And if we are looking for 210 megawatts of solar, I would say I will space them one year because we wanted to see if we can overlap, but it's not happening. I think if it is going to be at the rate of 70 megawatts per year, or if we commission this year 70 megawatt in the month of May and July. We can expect the next one in next May and July and next one thereafter. I think today for 70 megawatts, I would peg the number at around 200 crores.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Pratik Kothari from Unique PMS. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon and thank you, sir. Your comment on the drop in profitability that we saw in the tube segment this quarter.
Can you repeat the question? I couldn't get your question, sir.
It is regarding the tube segment, the seamless tube. We saw a drop in profitability there at ISMT. Your comment on that?
In general, engineering sector and to some extent even the tube sector, one was commodity price correction, and also there was some impact of dumping, and in some sectors of tube business we could find the pressures on the margins but also pressure on achieving the volumes. So also I think I don't have exact numbers, but there have been some write-offs related to Stretto, our subsidiary, but how much has gone in exception item, what has gone, for example, receivables from Stretto, we had to write off very substantial write-offs in this last year closure. We had to account to clean up the accounts. What was not possible to recover, we have to, everything has been accounted for.
So can you quantify this number?
I think two accounts mainly. One was Stretto Sweden closure, and another was land-related receivable. I think both put together about 60 to 70 crores is the total value of the items.
And this was taken in quarter four?
In the quarter four, sir, yes.
Correct, okay. And sir, we acquired ISMT, I believe, 2 years back. We have done a lot of work in terms of stabilizing it operationally, and there were a lot of low-hanging fruits which were targeting to kind of overcome when it comes to cost. But when you look at the presentation which we have shared on ISMT annual numbers, the margin improvement from 8-9% to 14% seems to have come largely from raw material benefits, from gross margin expansion. And I believe power cost will come from next year, given solar will come in there. But even when it comes to employee cost, other expenses, it still seems to be similar to what it was a year back. So you can throw some light, what are we doing there? What are those scope of improvement when it comes to this other fixed cost or employee cost or other expenses?
I think it's very important that we put ISMT in the growth part. I think the growth is the instrument for bringing down the cost. Not that we want to cut either the expenses or the employee-related expenses. Rather, they will keep growing a little bit. But with the same human resources, if we can be able to produce and sell more steel and more tube, I think that is the plan. We are going ahead with the green power and green energy and cut down our power and fuel costs. We are also looking at further improvement in the efficiencies, de-bottlenecking the processes and make the flow of material better. With all this, we are very keen that within a couple of years, at least in a couple of years, if not better and early, take the tube production and sales to 2 lakh metric ton. And also within next couple of years, take the steel sales to 2 lakh ton, and subsequently to be taken to 2 lakh 30, 2 lakh 40, steel and maybe 2 lakh 50 tube. I think that would enable us to mitigate the cost. For example, what was the employee cost at the level of 11-12% or 10%, we have been able to now bring it down to a level of 6%. I still see opportunity, and we can take that cost up to maybe 4 to 5% in line with KFIL. I think we will be working towards that. And in addition to that, I think beyond the power and fuel cost reduction, there are hidden costs in terms of improvement of yield, in reduction of non-conforming products. I think we have few points possibilities in other areas, and we see great opportunity. We have not finished our work in ISMT in both steel and tube. It's still work in progress. I think a lot of opportunities for us to make these plants world class, make these plants efficient in every respect. I think it will take 2-3 years. That is the progress period for us. It won't stop.
Fair enough. And so my last question is on steel. I mean, we're thinking of putting up a large capacity going forward. And across industry, if we listen to various companies, all of them are very, very bullish on or are putting up large steel capacities. And India peers who have not put up a capacity for the last 10 years are coming out and putting up some new capacity. So just your thoughts, anything which has changed? I mean, what are we seeing, or how are we confident that even we are going ahead and putting up some large capex?
No, we would like to keep in mind we have not been a great big steel people. So maybe earlier promoters were, but as Kirloskar, we have not been steel people. We are conservative. What we are just saying that ISMT has been in the steel business. They have produced and sold more than 1 lakh ton in the past. And we are saying that they lost the share of business, they lost the market, and we are trying to just restore that. Whatever we produce and roll in Jejuri, we want to supply to Ahmednagar for tube making and remaining 2,30,000-2,40,000 sell in the market. Go from 80,000 to 2,40,000 in next 3-4 years. At the same time, we expand the tube production capacity to about 2,50,000 in Baramati so that they consume 3 lakh ton of unrolled material, unrolled steel. It blooms. And that bloom, we make it in cost-effectively in copper. It makes sense, and we don't have to sell too much. We have to expand and consume more steel in tube making, which we feel that it's doable. We have not yet started doing premium coupling in a big way. We are not still prepared to produce and sell big quantities in OCTG segments. And those are the opportunities we will pursue it. I think we are not really going very big way into the steel market. We are moderately expanding in the bathing tube market, in the alloy steel market. We already have 26 customers. All of them consume steel, and we would like to work with them. I'm sure if they like our castings, our customers will like our steel as well. And that is the opportunity. And we are not doing anything overboard, just within the boundaries.
Great. Thank you, and all the best, sir.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as our last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, all the participants, for joining today. I thought that today being the election day in Mumbai, whether we will have participants, whether there will be questions or not, I thought, but the overwhelming response towards KFIL and ISMT, I thank you for your interest and look forward to meet you again after 1 quarter. It's always a pleasure talking to you, and I hope that we'll meet next quarter with some better results and better colors. Thank you very much for your participation.
Thank you.
Over to Pallav.
Thank you. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.